Hello and welcome to another interesting episode of InsurTech Business Series, where we engage conversations around innovation, technology, and opportunities that they bring to the insurance industry. My name is Damola.
And my name is Folumi. You're welcome. How have you been, Damola?
Yeah, it's been great. I've had a very interesting past few weeks, and I mean, have a lot of reasons to be thankful. Yeah. What about you?
Same here. It's been eventful, and which brings me to the fact that, you know, there was a tweet that was making the round on Twitter recently by Stone at Wine, asking about why Africans don't like to buy insurance.
Yes, I came across that as well.
Yeah, a lot of interesting conversation on that particular thread. A lot of people, contributing the reduction in sales or reduced penetration of insurance to lack of education. And if you remember, there was a time that Ekerete cast and he spoke about you need to raise constant awareness about insurance in, especially in Nigeria, you know, as a whole. Mm. So were there other ones that caught your attention? Because for me, that was one of the key things.
I mean, there's someone here, Tony Katakuri Linlin, too. He says, we are covered with the blood of Jesus. Yeah, that's interesting. But if you look at what Antoine says here, he says, this really just captures, it summarizes entirely what we have been talking about on the podcast, and really the reality of Africans, really, not even Nigerians alone, right? So he says that, I mean, lack of education about why it's important to be insured. People don't understand why
insurance.
Not about what insurance is, but why should I go on to buy insurance, right? So insurance companies focusing on the top 20% of the population. Well,
I've always said, and I don't fail to say that every single time I have the opportunity, the banks will tell you they are banking the unbankables. So what's going on with the insurance space? Why can't you reach out to all of this population that, you know, like, you can't tell me that we'll continue to be, we'll have a market penetration of 0.5%. It doesn't even make sense. So what exactly is going on with the uninsured? What are we doing about this?
I get your point. Creating those sachet products that, you know, more people can purchase and enjoy. And one of the few things that you mentioned that I think that for me is quite key is poor user experience that often costs the prospects. And that's true, right? The user experience is not palatable. It's not smooth from onboarding to even claims. So I think that there are a lot of opportunities.
I think it's even more stressful. I give you my money, I want to collect my money, and you're giving me like a lot of hassle. So
so those are some of the things that really need to change in the market. And I mean, it's quite interesting that today we are speaking with someone who is playing in that space. She's Rashida Adebisi, who is the chief client officer at AXA Mansard, and they're one of the top insurance companies in Nigeria. It'll be interesting, you know, to hear her thoughts around what they are doing with some of these challenges that are in the market and how they are leveraging technology to enable their processes and really just reimagine how insurance is being sold and the kind of products that are being sold. All right. So, I mean, there are a lot of tales about the beautiful things that they are doing. And, you know, it's going to be great to hear from the horse's mouth, really.
You should stay tuned and don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Rashida, thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And it's a pleasure to be here. Follow me.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine. And really, we really appreciate the fact that you honored our invitation. It's out of your busy schedule. It's something that we are really grateful for. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Can you tell us about Rashida and your motivation?
We don't have enough time to hear about the whole of Rashida. But I would just say to you that, you know, I'm somebody who's, you know, been significantly influenced by, you know, I guess my the culture of our country. I'm extremely, I'm curious. I'm an optimist, by the way. I'm an optimist not because I think that everything will always be fine all the time, but I understand that, you know, sometimes things can be challenging, right? But I always believe that the future is bright and everything is possible if I believe, right? So at the same time, from an insurance perspective, you know, I started out in the industry quite some time ago these days. Probably spent about 15 and a half years in the industry in Nigeria.
Wow.
And So I started as a finance person, but with a huge curiosity to know more about what I was doing. I appreciate and I align with the impact that the industry can create. I truly believe that this industry is actually a noble profession, right? In the sense that you don't just make a living, but you're actually impacting the living of others and helping them, you know, to provide the safety net needed, which isn't really there in Nigeria, you understand? Because we are like the safety net of each other. We don't have any government security or any sort of welfare system. So the family, your friends are your welfare. So when you then have this opportunity to have an industry that can take over a lot of that responsibility, so that whatever your family and friends do for you, it's just an extra on top, then it reduces the pressure. So this is the thing that really kept me in the industry, because it was always more financially viable outside, I would say to you. So I'll stop there. Like I said, you know, Rashida is a lot of a mix, but I've evolved in different roles, from finance to driving retail business, now to leading client services and helping to just drive the growth of personal lines, you know, as well as just trying to add value to the industry, of course, to our company. But very, very important is, you know, the only way you can add value is by giving your very best and listening, which is something that we haven't always done as an industry so well.
Well, really, I mean, I must say to that I think that with this new normal, a lot of things might change in the industry, you know, in terms of how we do most of our processes, claims payment, underwriting, and all of that. So what will you say is like your own view about this particular, I mean, after COVID-19, what would you say would be the next level for insurance companies in Nigeria?
For me, I like to remind people that the normal before COVID was always an issue already. The insurance industry hasn't been present enough in people's lives, right? So when you then bring in COVID-19, it only just enhances the fact that there's a lot more for us to do as an industry. And it's about going beyond what we saw as the norm. Right. We've been talking about, you know, technology, about, you know, improving our services, about being there for our clients. But what it has done is to accelerate, you know, the need to make the change that has always been clear that needed to be done, whether it's in understanding our customers better, listening to understand what their pain points are and helping to address it. It could be from thinking about our products differently, right? You know, are we only just repairing things when they get spoiled? Can we help in detecting things? Where can we help predict and prevent? You know, things along this side. There were issues around our workforce, not just from the technical side alone, that we seem to have very good technical people, but how can they extend themselves beyond that? And from the sales side, how do we retrain our salespeople in a different manner? So for me, I would say COVID-19 has only brought, you know, in a much more clearer way, the things that we're missing already. There are opportunities that we haven't, you know, taken advantage of. We need to think outside the box. You know, this is very generic, right? But, you know, it's simple. It's as simple as saying to ourselves, you know, how can we do things better, cheaper, lighter from an operational perspective? How can we add more value to our clients? And how do we harness things like data science? You know, how do we improve, you know, the capabilities and truly help people in our country? You know, so I think these are those things that COVID-19 further enhances, because if people are not alive and they're not well, then why do they need you?
Okay, so judging by this now, I'm going to say that it means that technology is going to be like the, should I say, messiah for our... I know we talk a lot about InsurTech and all of that, but there was a conversation we had with one of our interviewee. Then we said that it wasn't just, you know, management that pushed technology in Nigeria. It was COVID-19 that fast-tracked all of this technology use in Nigeria, because whether we liked it or not, we're forced to find a way to work from home. We found a way to make sure that our operations continued despite the fact that we were unable to get to our offices. So would you also say that technology would also help to speed up some of those processes and deliver all of those products to our customers?
Well, I mean, it depends on how you're looking at it. Technology is extremely important. In fact, it's like you said, I agree that technology is could be an enabler of the business, right? But it could also be the business, if you look at it from an InsurTech perspective as well. But it's not technology alone. If you have people who are not thinking through things, who have great technology, that they won't necessarily change some of the things that need to be changed, right? They won't reimagine the products. They'll just automate what they had and they automate the same behavior. So technology is essential, right? Of course, it's not just for the insurance industry, by the way, it's for everyone. You know, everyone literally, even people selling, you know, drinks had to find ways to get it to people's doorstep without them coming to the shops. So think about it, sorry. So technology could enhance logistics, would enhance the delivery of your service, would enhance how you serve and engage with the customer. So technology, you know, you could say the messiah, but for me, it's not technology alone. Technology is critical, but the people that will use the technology and that will drive the technology are also extremely important. You can't divorce it. And it's not about a young person alone or an old person. It's about people who have that mindset to change, to understand that, you know, this thing can be used in an amazing way, and how interested am I in doing that? Or do I just want to do the status quo, same as usual, and bring some very powerful technology that doesn't actually have the right impact? So I do agree that technology is extremely important at this time, because, you know, things like inspecting a car, for example. Right? You know, you can't go just anywhere, even if you wanted to go, right? If there was a, you know, lockdown restriction, you couldn't get there. Right? But you need to serve the client. So how do you do this in this period? So how can technology help you? You could use WhatsApp. Is WhatsApp enough? Is it safe enough? Does it have the right data protection laws? How do you save that information? Where do you save it? You know, the governance around it and the ethics of the use of technology is also important. Not a lot of people are talking about it, to be honest, but if you don't build this in together, you'll get to a point where technology is doing great things for you, but then you're behind from a regulatory and regulatory and protection perspective, and you could get into trouble.
You mentioned regulation. Okay, I know that we've had a lot of, you know, back and forth. I'm not even just talking about NICOM now. I'm talking about other regulatory bodies that concerns our industry. Would you rather say that they should do more in terms of, you know, customer segmentation, customer experiences, in terms of customer product? Because I know there are lots of insurance companies that try to sell micro insurance in Nigeria, and we've had a lot of, you know, back and forth with regulators. If it's coming from, I don't even want to call out NICOM right now, but honestly, and then even for education as well, in terms of CIN and all of that, do you think that there's more these guys need to do for our industry in order to push it forward? What would be your own point of view?
I mean, I think regulation is important because we're in a regulated business, right? Because, you know, there are fiduciary responsibilities that people need to make sure that are being done, right? We're holding people's money, we're holding people's livelihoods. So there is definitely a need for regulation. But at the same time, regulation needs to evolve the same way business is evolving. right? And you know, and sometimes they have a lot of either, you know, acts or rules that they have to follow. Sometimes, you know, they need to be able to, you know, go through a checklist of things they want us to do. So it's about, can we do it differently? Can we test and learn together? So I see more that, you know, the regulators can enable things. It's like, if you're the leader of a company and they call it a leader, if the leader is not going to do the actual work, but you create an enabling environment for the people to do the work. So the regulators themselves need to create an enabling environment, understanding that some of these things won't follow the rules of the past. And that's where, you know, some interesting concepts like, you know, regulatory sandbox comes into play, you know, well defined, and all these different things that we can do. Because I appreciate that you're concerned. You know, I mean, I can give you an example, like, you know, bank assurance, for example. Bank assurance is something fantastic, you know, that can add a lot of value. But when there have been different protections from all the different regulators, such that where the bank says, oh, we want you to separate this, we want to separate your products, we don't want people to think the bank is the insurance company, which is a valid point. But then if you don't allow the ability, as we've seen it happen in other places, where there's some level of bundling of products, where a customer consumes something and, you know, it's bundled together. But we know everybody's responsible for their own side. So let's find a different way to show the responsibility of each party, rather than stopping the opportunity in order to protect, you know, along the rules. So I think the regulators have moved forward a little bit. I won't say they are far behind, because I've been engaging at the forefront of some of this for a while. But I'll say to you that COVID should tell us that, in fact, you know, just the same way it is for the insurance companies, that you now need to move, you know, faster. We need the regulators to also be more accepting. And to say to us, let's try it. Let's work on it together. So if I work on it with you and I carry you on the journey, you understand that I've touched on all the critical areas as a company. And when you have concerns, I would also understand those concerns and put things in place to make it work, but not lose sight of the opportunity to create innovation, to create impact, to protect our people. So, for example, you know, people selling music are selling it on the telco platform easily, right? You can sell a ringtone.
Ringtone
is nice. You can hear it, perhaps makes you happy, you know, put some serotonin in your body and makes you feel good. But imagine if I can sell protection and insurance for someone on a mobile phone through his airtime in small buckets. That would not just make him happy. It will protect him in case something happens. I can even help him, you know, sell her, save towards something critical to them in the future. When maybe their child needs to go to school, or, you know, an unfortunate event comes up. So if you can't do this because of regulation, we're denying people the ability to actually protect themselves and have a behavioral change just because historically it's not allowed. So why are we not allowing it? What are your concerns? So that is how I believe the regulators need to work with us. So we work together to actually make this change, you know. But they have valid reasons a few times, not all the time, by the way, but most times, I would say.
Okay, so I don't want to keep dwelling on the regulators, but I mean, customers' demand is changing, it's evolving. There was an example I gave back then, that what my father wanted then isn't what I want now.
Of course.
What I want now wouldn't be what maybe my children will want, because people are growing, times are evolving, and so on and so forth. So do you think now is the time for us to start unbundling? When I say unbundling, there are some particular type of insurance that we've followed all through, in terms of you know, risk policies, investment policies, endowment policies. But now that we're having people looking for gadget protection plan, we're having people looking for special risk insurance. Special risk in the sense that if something happens to my voice, would you insure it? So how exactly do you cater to those particular market niche? Because I have always wondered how we're able to sell life assurance to students. The impression I'd always had was a typical student will wonder if you are asking them to die young. So do you think that selling life insurance will be marketable to that kind of market segment? So those are all of the things. What would you think we should actually do? Would this be the best time to onboard some of this product?
I mean, the question is, what is insurance in the long run, right? It's about providing protection. So it's protection for that. That affects what matters to people. So if what matters, you know, 15 or 20 years ago was what we're selling, it's extremely important that we're courageous now as an industry to sell it in a different manner. You know, to leverage, you know, resources, whether it's technology, for example, to unbundle even payments. Why can't people pay with or daily or monthly, you know, rather than annually? I mean, we've moved ahead. Maybe people do half yearly or quarterly, but how can we make it work and ensure that people are always covered? There's no gap. And it's really that point I made earlier, you know, for me, that we need to listen.
Yes.
We need to listen to our clients. We need to understand what matters to them today. Okay, and this is how we can ensure that we can, you know, make the right impacts. You know, unbundling might work today, but imagine the children that are growing up now in the COVID environment, in social distance.
Yeah,
they're going to be extremely different from those of us that grew up in the past, and even you, you know, that you might be different. So how do you make sure you are addressing things that matter to people? It's about listening, understanding, and of course, engaging with them, working with them to understand what matters. I mean, it's something we've been trying to do in our own company, in AXA, for example, you know, having, you know, different kind of customer surveys, you know, trying out focus group sessions, trying to engage and recruit our client, our customers, right, to help us better understand them. Because by doing this, you know, you're then able to create personas for the customers, right? And when you create the personas, it means that you can create, you know, better solutions to address those persona needs, because the individuals are not stand alone. There are probably quite a few people like them or that need things like them, just like you gave an example of devices, you know. I mean, device insurance was something we saw like a few years ago already as a major one. But there were a few hurdles here and there. We started out, we've actually tried it in our company in 3 or 4 different ways.
I've seen a lot of that.
Because sometimes it doesn't work in one way. There's one issue from this side. Then you try it in another way. Then you try it in another way. Then you try and use technology. And then the technology has issues. And then you try another way. So I think the ability to test and learn and work with the right partners. So what we run now isn't where we want it to be in perfection. But, you know, working with a particular platform with some of our partners, we're able to help them do that. But there's still some gaps that, you know, can be further addressed. You know, so it's also understanding that, you know, it's not, the solution is not complete forever. It evolves as well. So I think this mindset is what we as an industry need to work on. And perhaps there's also that need to collaborate a bit more. There's some, you know, structures we need to put together and invest together to put them in place to further reduce the pressure on each company rather than each one building in a silo perspective some of these things. We need to work together, but I guess, you know, lots of conversations about working together, but actually making it happen hasn't seemed to, you know, be that successful in the past. But we can change these things, and this is something that I'm also, you know, dedicated to us trying to do, to say, look, how can we collaborate with each other? You know, some people call it co-optition, right, where you collaborate with your competition to create, you know, solutions for that affects the whole industry. So these are some of the things we need to do. But you are right. There's so much for us to do in this space, and it's not going to be done once and for all. It's a continuous process. So how do we put infrastructure in place to make sure that this keeps working? So this is a lot of work for us as an industry, and it's a challenge that we must take up.
Oh, okay. In terms of collaboration, I know that AXA Mansard has been working with a lot of partners in terms of carbon health at some point. I know in terms of the Gadget Protection Plan, it was a particular time I saw with Jumia, and I can't remember the other parts that, you know, AXA Mansard has been working with. But how exactly have you been finding those partnerships easy? There was an interview we did with Brian Falchuk, and he said that rather than just having, say, for instance, AXA Mansard selling insurance, you could, you know, bundle those insurance policies with other products offered by other customers. Say, for instance, travel insurance. I don't necessarily have to contact AXA Mansard before I get an AXA Mansard cover. So how exactly have you been, you know, faring with all of this partnership, especially with some of the issues that are coming up, like you rightly mentioned in the previous response? How exactly have you been able to manage it? And do you think that this is best means to distribute insurance to, I used to say, the uninsurables, like the bank would say the unbankable. So yeah, so do you think like this is the line you need to do?
We will have a lot more work to do than the banks. They have over 30 odd million customers. We have, you know, depending on who's counting, we're maybe 2 or 3 million as an industry, right? So definitely the gap is extremely wide. But I would say to you, you're right. I mean, partnership is extremely important. They say to us that the fourth industrial revolution is about partnering with people, you know, and so we keep doing. We're working on partnerships as a company anyway. But I also feel that you need to find people that are aligned in terms of values, because it's one thing to want to partner with people. Remember that insurance, in a way, is also a game of, you know, character. Yes. And because you are assuming that, you know, the person is coming, you know, with their hands open and exposing everything. So you need to be sure that, you know, the partners you're working with are open to change. Because if we go into a pricing today and we discover that the results are not, you know, sustainable, you need to make sure that your partner that you're working with is happy to make changes alongside you. So sometimes these are fixed partnerships. And then sometimes some companies go with partnership based on who they have relationship and friendship with, not necessarily who's the best, right? So that in itself can affect their ability to get it right. But, you know, we work with partners who have similar visions as us, you know, whether it's carbon, whether it's Wella Health, really for us to test. We don't call people uninsurable. We tell them that, see, we need a behavioral change. People haven't experienced insurance. Like I said, we're absent in their lives. If you've been somewhere where there are accidents happening, people are dying, and you're hearing, oh, they paid out 100 million, 50 million, 6 million from insurance, then you believe insurance is there. But when you're in an environment where insurance isn't being paid out, you're not seeing your friend saying the insurance repaired my phone and all of that, you first of all need to work with a partner who they go to normally, say someone selling the phone, to say, look, let me put insurance there so that you can experience it as a bundle first. And then you then realize that, oh, I can really help you. And that's why we mustn't be proud as an industry, but we must also be clear as to what our expectations are and what we want to happen, because this thing would ensure success, right? And this is where it is, because you need to also decide, look, how long is the partner ready to run with this for? Because there's some things where they call freemium, where a partner uses insurance to reward their clients, right? Mm-hmm. And guess what? In the bank assurance agreement, freemium is not allowed. You know, in the guideline, no, the guideline doesn't allow freemium, doesn't allow, you know, bundling. So you're wondering, so how do we teach people how to have a taste of this, right? So we partner with people like travel agents, for example, who can sell that as a bundle. But at the same time, we want the clients to experience insurance in a more personalized way. And sometimes you might not get that, because you need to probably log in and get, you know, a bit more closer and understand that customer more, so that you can even give them better value. So these are where the gaps are sometimes. But I mean, I'm very grateful to the companies who are partnering with us, even with the guidelines. And you know, we've learned a lot. That's what I would say to you. We've learned a lot. We have a dedicated team that works on testing new things, new ways, and new ways to of consumption, listen to clients, and literally trying to offer people solutions in very, very small sized, you know, bucket in terms of pricing. You know, we're working at $1 a month kind of policies, right? In that range. So below 500 naira range sort of policies. We're testing these things to see how will they work, what will work well. So we've learned a lot. At the same time, there's still more for us to do as a company. So definitely partnership is a critical thing. And we have a dedicated team working on that within our own company in AXA.
Wow, that's really commendable, I must say. I mean, I'm just really hoping that aside from all of this partnership, we actually see more and more in the industry to push, you know, and it's changing a lot of perception about insurance in the company, mm-hmm. I mean, in Nigeria. And then also mm-hmm. talking about, you know, instant claims payments, which I know that is a huge pain. For people to believe something doesn't work, it means that it probably carried on, should I say, if one person had a bad experience, and you know how insurance spread with word of mouth. One person probably had a bad experience and then comes back and say, don't you ever put your money in insurance company again. And then another person probably not even knowing what happened. Like that goes on and, you know, spread the word. So how do you think we can actually tackle that particular bit in Nigeria? I know that we owe it to our customer to pay claims. I tell people that insurance as it is, the mm-hmm. main reason why we're even in the business is to pay claims. So if we're not paying claims, then what exactly are we insuring? So how do you think we can actually tackle that pain point, and how can we, you know, change the perception of our customers?
I mean, it's from two sides, I'll say to you, right, Folumi. The first one is that from a regulatory perspective, making sure that the operators that are in the industry are of the highest, you know, level, okay, which is where you see the regulators talking about, you know, regulatory capital, trying to increase capital. Because they want to be sure that, you know, the companies are, you know, extremely strong and all. So the regulator tries from his own side. On the other side, you know, we also don't have a regulatory system that helps companies that are not doing well that need to leave the market, right? So, you know, if you want to own up a portfolio, how does it work? What are the rules around it? So, and that's why even when people have been taken over by the regulator, it's kind of difficult to remind them. Okay, so we need some of this to help create, you know, that clarity that from a financial standpoint, the companies are there, they're strong. On the other side, the second one is the companies themselves making sure that, you know, we walk our talk, you know, not finding stories at the end and saying, oh, I can notice that the claim happened at 12:44 a.m. That means that you were drinking and that means that we can't pay you. But at the same time, when the person's claim is paid, how do we rate them and, you know, profile them? Well, how do we centralize the data so that the person who claims from you, you know that this is their claims history. They don't just move from company to company. So if you look at, you know, the UK industry or the US insurance industry, they have databases that can confirm the person's, you know, claims experience.
Yes. Right?
So somebody that is a good risk can get better prices from other companies. And if you are not so great, you know, not doesn't mean you're bad, but obviously there's some risk that you face every day. Then we're able to make sure that we're pricing you appropriately wherever you go. But we don't have those in place yet. And that in itself affects us. And it means that insurance is more expensive, even for the people who are, you know, quite, you know, conscious about safety. So this is something that, you know, needs to be addressed as well from the industry, because that would ensure that, you know, you're not penalizing people who are doing well just at the expense of people who aren't doing so well for certain circumstances. So this helps, and this ensures that claims are paid. And in the long run, what happens is that the confidence is really, really reinforced, because when you look at it, trust is really about your character and your competence. So the character comes from where the regulators and regulations protects people. And then competence comes from your ability to keep delivering, you know, what you promised to do, because you have the right skills, you have the right people, you have money to buy all the necessary things to put in place. But the last thing I'll say to you is that when Afina did the last research on insurance, it wasn't 77% of the people, the reason why they don't buy insurance, they don't know about insurance and where to buy it from. It's not because they don't trust us. We've always believed it was just trust. So trust is there. But people don't even know or understand how we add value to them and where they can get us from. So that's huge. And that's, you know, probably even a bigger part of the work for us. So they don't understand. We're too technical. We have to mention, you know, yes, insurance is a legal contract, right? But why do we need to use where from? These things are so, they don't understand. I mean, do you understand that? I mean, how many of your friends really understand that?
When you say premium and then you're expecting a different service.
Yeah, they say premium. Exactly. Premium means like high level.
Yeah, and then, no, it's a payment, not yes, I totally understand.
So we need to change and use, terminologies that people don't understand. So this is what we talk about, simplification. And honestly, it's not because we cannot simplify at once. We have to go through that journey too. Even in our company, we're still going through a simplification journey, improving our, communication, our policy documents, simplifying it, standardizing it, and trying to make sure that we're creating things for different sectors, different audiences. What the commercial large corporates need is not what a small SME needs. It's not what a medium-sized SME needs. And it's not what an individual needs. So how do we make sure that without incurring costs that are huge, how do we, use technology and drive this and help us? This is the real work for the industry.
Okay. That's what you said right now is actually an entire different twist from what we'd always had at the back of our mind in terms of people not trusting insurance. But then it's a whole lot of work having to realize that it is not just about the trust anymore. It's how available those products are and how accessible they are. So I think that what we probably need is a whole lot of communication in the industry. If we pay claims, we probably have to make continuous mouth about it, saying, okay, we pay claims. This is how you're able to get some of these things. I think over time, all of these things would change in my opinion. But do you think that there's an opportunity for us in Nigeria in terms of insurtech penetration? Do you think that is a huge opportunity for us to penetrate that market regardless of the fact that now we need to do more in terms of communication? Do you think that there's still a chance for us to, penetrate that space?
I mean, penetration rate in insurance, right? Terms of our contribution to GDP, is still below 0.5, right? When we look at the population size and we talk about how many people are insured, I mentioned a bit earlier, you can see clearly that there's opportunity. But opportunity is not just the general, BAU, business as usual opportunity that we're operating that will take advantage of this, right? We ourselves need to reinvent ourselves, InsurTech is definitely very important, but InsurTech in what sense is what you need to think about, because technology on its own that's dedicated to improving the insurance experience isn't enough. It's the whole ecosystem that is created in an organization and how, the value chains are being engaged. So even when, for example, we sell a fully online product, right, for motor insurance, which is called Complex Online. This is distributed digitally from beginning to end. But guess what? When the claim is happening and I need to get a loss adjuster to see this client's car, is it digital as well? That's where the value chain comes in. Okay, so if I can have a value chain improvement where even my loss adjuster and my repair garages are able to deal with this thing and we're able to agree and work from a simplified technology platform to ensure that we serve the clients promptly and quickly, that would make a big difference to the customer, right? And that means that as an individual, you are ready to cede your risks to the insurance industry. So the opportunity is huge, not just for one or two or three companies, but for as many who are able to, rethink how we work, how we offer, how the fulfillment is done, as well as, how we engage with the client and how we better understand their needs. And then we iterate, it has to keep happening. So if you have 30 million people with bank accounts, for example, and we have nearly 3 million people with insurance, that's another gap, because everyone needs protection. We've done, from our emerging customer team, we went into the market, we've done surveys, and when we ask them questions, what we find out is this: they don't understand insurance, they don't know insurance, but they know risk, and they manage their risk somehow, and they wish they could get a better one. But how do we communicate that better way to them? How do we engage with them? InsurTech can definitely do a lot of work in that, right? But InsurTech, can work not necessarily as a standalone, but with existing players as well. You also need to think about the existing players, the technologies, core business applications we have. are they really future ready? Are they cloud ready?
That's the question we need to ask another day.
Imagine. So definitely, you know, I mean, in banking, you probably have maybe a few, maybe three or four popular, you know, banking solutions. But in insurance, you're literally all over the world. You don't have any very popular one like that. And it's because insurance itself is a bit technical. It's a bit different, you know, and there's different connotations and nuances to it. So there's also opportunity for the insurtech to develop, you know, fantastic core business applications that is amazing. In itself, it's a ready business for existing insurers who are insuring people. So apart from, of course, new opportunities, there is even the existing to conquer and to improve. So I believe, yeah, definitely huge opportunities.
Okay. So coming to my final question, what do you think we should expect from AXA Mansard?
Well, I wish I had even more time to talk about this. But I think in summary, right, AXA Mansard, which is a part of the overall AXA group, we're evolving ourselves. So a few years back, you know, we talked about, you know, being customer-centric and, you know, beginning with the customer in mind, you know, and started to think and change our operations in this way. And it's not perfect, I would say to you, but we keep, you know, addressing what can be done better in a different way. But our overall vision, right, as a company, as a group, is to act for human progress. Okay, to help them protect what matters, right? And so, you know, progress in life is different for different people, and it's about human progress, right? And, yes. And what matters, because what matters is different for you, like you told me, and different for your dad. So how can I make sure that as a company I'm there for you? And when you think about acting for human progress, you know, I want you to aspire to be everything you want to be a business owner if that's what you want to be. But should, in case you have a speed bump along the road, I want to be there to help you in terms of an unexpected event. But there are some expected things where your business is growing, you know, investing your money, helping you to get ready for retirement, helping you to get ready for a child's education, or perhaps to acquire a massive assets that you've been working for. You know, in our own generation, you wanted to buy a house. You know, it was important. That's when you know you have tried, when you have your own house, don't pay rent. So how do I help you get to this point? You know, so this is how you progress and make sure that even no matter the speed bump or issue you meet along the way, whether you are rich or whether you are, you know, middle income, or you're just moving, emerging, you know, and growing in your life, we want to be there for our clients just along that journey. We are not just going to ensure that, you know, we deliver insurance solutions to people and help protect them, but what we're evolving to be is to be a partner. You know, we want to be a partner with our clients. We want them to come to us, so to think about us, you know, and that means that it's not just about being a payer of claims. It's about being there with them, helping them to channel things in a different way, rethinking, you know, their overall journey and helping to improve it. So from AXA, you know, as we work a lot more on our technology transformation, you know, the question is, you know, is technology an enabler? Is our business a technology company that is offering insurance solutions? I guess that's the question to leave on the table for you. But, you know, we feel strongly about tech being very important. We feel that it's critical. And tech can not just be a competition, but can be, you know, a critical part of the business. So with AXA, one thing you can be sure of is that we constantly challenge ourselves to deliver better value, to deliver value the way customers want to receive it, where they want to receive it, and hopefully evolve into a much more centralized, you know, ecosystem that can help you across all the different needs that you have. So this is, but with a lot of focus, of course, on both protection as well as growing people's assets, right?
Wow, I feel like I'm sold already. You got me a partnership.
please just come in through the door.
Okay, so we've come to the end of the interview. Thank you very much, Rashida, for your time. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure that most of our listeners are also they're also excited as I am to have gotten, you know, this particular information. And thank you so much.
You're welcome. I mean, it's great here. And well done. Well done what you guys are doing as well. It's very, very impressive.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I mean, it's good to hear that. Positive.
Really? We should tell you. Sure.
Okay. All right. So, how do people reach you in case anybody's interested in terms of, partnership with AXA Mansard, or if they even want to reach you directly? How do people communicate with you?
We have our company website, which is, www.axamansard.com. We are on all the social media platforms as well. As well as you can reach us on our AXA Mansard line as well. But more importantly, if you also want to reach out to me, just shoot an email. My email is, my name literally at axamansard.com. But I think what's more interesting is that it really depends on sort of partnerships. But we're there on LinkedIn, we're there on Instagram, and we're working very hard to keep revamping, a lot of the our social media footprint, as well as, of course, our websites. And we can be reached, in different ways, depending on, where the client wants to meet up with us. But Nigerians also like a physical office location. So we are based, in Victoria Island. That's where the head office is, Amadu Belowe. We call our office Santa Clara Court. By the way, so Santa Clara is on Amadu Belowe 1412. So that's a physical location. And of course, we're in different locations across the country also. So we can be reached also physically if that's what the client wants, right? We can't force everybody into the digital world.
Sure. All right. Thank you very much again. Thank you so much, Rashida, for your time.
Hello, and welcome to the news update. My name is Opeoluwa. First, the headlines. Alliance Nigeria strikes strategic partnership with GIDN platform. 47th AIO conference to hold May 2021 in Lagos, Nigeria. Bima wins Claims Initiative Award. Now the details. Alliance Nigeria Insurance Limited, a composite insurer operating in Nigeria, has announced a partnership with Get It Done Now Limited, developers of the GIDN platform. Speaking on the partnership, Chief Marketing and Strategic Officer of Alliance Nigeria, Walter Bossman, said they aim to provide bespoke insurance products to mitigate business risks of the registered service providers. This, according to the co-founder of GIDN, Alberto Rodriguez, will help to build trust among customers while adding credibility to the small business owners as well. The 47th edition of the AIO conference, organized by the African Insurance Organization, has now been rescheduled for May 2021. This announcement by the Executive Committee of AIO was made via the body's official Twitter handle. In the tweet, it was announced that the earlier postponed event will now hold between the 29th of May and 4th of June 2021 in Lagos, Nigeria. The annual AIO conference and AGM was cancelled earlier as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and travel restrictions. Bima has been recognized for their work in the Ghanaian insurance industry, sweeping away the Mobile Insurance Leadership Award for the third time in a row and the Claims Initiative Award at the recently held Ghana Insurance Award 2020. Speaking on winning the Claims Initiative Award, Damien Guatorolt, country manager for Bima Ghana, said, "Claims is the moment of truth for insurance providers, and we believe that having our claims team travel into our customers' communities and process their claims on the spot is a great way to create trust and battle the idea that claiming is necessarily a long and painful process." Launched in 2010, Bima Ghana leverages mobile technology to deliver affordable insurance and telemedicine services to underserved customers in emerging markets. And that's it on the news update. back to Damola and Folumi.
All right, welcome back, and I hope that you enjoyed that conversation with Rashidat at DBC from Aksa Mansad. A lot of talking points there. It was an interesting conversation. Follow me. What do you think?
Yes, as in, there were lots of take-homes. At some point, I was even sold. Imagine you wanting to buy from the company. How passionate she was about it. But, you know, one of my take-home there was the fact that it's important for us to simplify the insurance process, for us to simplify our policies. And then I could talk about, you know, notice how you even talk about simplification of all of these languages, those terminologies we use. You know, I'm trying to talk to someone that is not a professional in the insurance space, and they're looking at you like premium. Alien language I used to speak, and then you're saying excess bite back, and I'm wondering, okay, what's going on?
What do all those things mean? Like,
you know, all of these terminologies needs to be broken down regardless. We need to be able to do some of these things. So, one of my, if at all, I don't even say any other thing, that particular was the point for me.
What I got from that conversation was more of the fact that, you know, digital transformation or any kind of change that you want to see in an insurance company, or the kind of change that an insurance company desires, it must be strategic. It must come from the top, right? She mentioned that they have an emerging markets team. That team definitely has been created recently, right? Just to tackle some of these things, some of, you know, creating products, creating partnerships, you know, to serve these people in the margin market, right? So it means that this decision about serving this market is intentional and it comes from the top. And so I think that is one key thing that insurance companies should, you know, have at the back of their mind. It's not good enough to say, yes, we are using technology and say we are selling online. We are selling through our websites. You can buy on our website. You can pay through Paystar. No, that is not it. It has to be seamless. It can, the technology has to go through from the onboarding process, you know, to, you know, engaging the customer, you know, even to claims payment. And everything is done digitally, not the onboard the customer through your website. Then you still tell the customer to snap himself, or you have to, or you send an agent to him to sign a form. No. Then we are still back to the same thing. So again, it tells us that it's doable and there are opportunities. So thank you very much. And it's been splendid. Thank you again to Rashidat at BBC. Amazing speaking with her. In fact, you know, we both have been wanting to speak with her. You know, I wish I was on that call with you. So it was quite interesting. Thank you again.
So thank you guys for always supporting us as well and for listening. We are getting your feedback and we are responding with them.
Thank you. So take care of yourself and stay safe.
Bye.